When Prince says Moses was a pharaoh in the 18th dynasty in his song Chelsea Rogers from Planet Earth 2007, what does he want us to understand about Moses? Quoting Black Athena, "The movement among Greeks and other Mediterranean peoples to worship the gods under their Egyptian names began well before Alexander, and Alexander lived from 356 to 323 BC, king of Macedon from 336 to 323, son of Philip II, known as Alexander the Great. He conquered Persia, Egypt, Syria, Mesopotamia, Bactria, and the Punjab. He founded the city of Alexandria in Egypt." Continuing, "Well before Alexander's conquests and the syncretism," which means the amalgamation or attempted amalgamation of different religions, cultures, or schools of thought. "So this movement among Greek and other Mediterranean peoples to worship the gods under their Egyptian names began well before Alexander's conquests and the syncretism of Hellenistic times. Early in the 5th century BC, the poet Pindar wrote a hymn to Ammon, which opened, 'Ammon, king of Olympus.' The cult of the Libyan variant of the Egyptian Ammon was attached to Pindar's native town of Thebes, which is the Greek name, says the dictionary, for an ancient city in Upper Egypt, the ruins of which are located on the Nile River, about 420 miles south of Cairo. It was the capital of ancient Egypt under the 8th dynasty, which the dictionary says is from 1550 to 1290 BC. But Martin Bernal in Black Athena, quote, puts the Danaos landing in Greece near the beginning of the Hyksos period at around 1520 BC, excuse me, at around 1720 BC. Continuing, however, it was also strong in Sparta, says Martin Bernal. And Pausanias wrote about the sanctuary of Ammon in Ephistus in Sparta. And I've been quoting from Black Athena, the Afro-Asiatic roots of classical civilization, the fabrication of ancient Greece from 1785 to 1985. What does it mean that Moses delivered his covenant to the Mediterranean world at around 1720 BC, 1720 BC, and then 1,400 years later, the statesmen of ancient Greece were panting after all things Egypt caste system. Oh, excuse me, I mean Egypt priesthood, Egyptian priesthood. Quoting Black Athena, Aristotle, who lived from 384 to 322 BC, was not the only pupil of Plato. Excuse me, was not only the pupil of Plato. He also studied at the academy under Eudoxus of Cnidos, the great mathematician and astronomer who's reported to have spent 16 months in Egypt shaving his head in order to study with priests there. Aristotle was also heavily influenced by Herodotus on Egypt and was clearly fascinated by the country. Although at times he stressed the great antiquity of Mesopotamia and Iranian civilization, his considered opinion seems to have been that the Egyptians were the most ancient people. Aristotle was equally contradictory on the issue of diffusionism. At times, he stated his belief in independent invention by different cultures, but at others, he argued that the Egyptians had created the caste system, and hence Egypt, quote, was the cradle of mathematics because the caste of priests were given great leisure, skol, unquote. According to him, Aristotle, the priests had invented the mathematicas techne, mathematical arts, which included geometry, arithmetic, and astronomy, which the Greeks were beginning to possess. In fact, his admiration for Egypt went beyond that of Herodotus in one respect, where Herodotus believed that the Egyptians had developed geometry, the key science, for practical means in order to measure land after landmarks had been washed away by the Nile flood. Aristotle maintained that it had been developed theoretically by the priests. Amongst many other things, Aristotle was, of course, the tutor of Alexander the Great. With the extraordinary Macedonian conquest of the Persian Empire in the 330s BC, there was a great surge of Greek interest in all Oriental civilizations, and especially in that of Egypt. It was in the years immediately after the conquest that the Egyptian priest Manetho wrote a history of Egypt in Greek, in which he set out the scheme of 33 dynasties, which remains the basis of the historiography of ancient Egypt. It was also at about this time that Hecateos of Abdera set out his view that the traditions of the Egyptian expulsion of the Hyksos, and we learned from Martin Bernal that the Hyksos are predominantly Semitic-speaking invaders from the north who conquered and ruled at least Lower Egypt from about 1720 to 1575 BC. Continuing, that we learned from Hecateos of Abdera that the traditions, his view was that the traditions of the Egyptian expulsion of the Hyksos, the Israelite exodus, and that of the Danaos landing in Argos were three parallel versions of the same story. Quoting Hecateos of Abdera, quote, "The natives of the land surmised that unless they removed the foreigners, their troubles would never be resolved." And he's talking about, again, the Hyksos. "At once, therefore, the aliens were driven from the country, and the most outstanding and active among them banded together, and, as some say, were cast ashore in Greece and certain other regions. Their teachers were notable men, among them being Danaos and Cadmos. But the greater number were driven into what's now called Judea, which is not far from Egypt, and at that time was utterly uninhabited. The colony was headed by a man called Moses." Unquote. Continuing with Martin, "It seems to have been on this basis, and the belief expressed by Herodotus that the ancestry of the Spartan kings went up to the Hyksos colonists, that sometime around 300 BC, Arios, king of Sparta, wrote to Jerusalem, beginning, quote, "To Onias, high priest, greeting. A document has come to light which shows that the Spartans and Jews are kinsmen, descended alike from Abraham," unquote. Now, Martin says, "References to the Egypto-Phoenician colonizations in the Hellenistic period are too frequent to be given in full here. Debates were not on the existence of the landings, but on their specifics, the nationality of the leaders, their points of departure, or their dates. The tension between Greek cultural pride and respect for the ancient civilizations seems to have become even more intense with Alexander's extraordinary conquests before 330 BC. We've been quoting Martin Bernal's Black Athena, the Afro-Asiatic Roots of Classical Civilization, Volume 1, The Fabrication of Ancient Greece from 1785 to 1985.